So, as I mentioned earlier, that this class, this is compilations or collections of different pastimes from different Puranas. Mainly, a lot of Krishna's pastimes have been described in Brahma Vaivarta Purana and also in Harivamsa. These two Puranas describe quite extensively about Krishna's pastimes. Brahma Vaivarta Purana has one section that's called Krishna Khanda, which deals exclusively with Krishna's pastime. And Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami also dealt with Krishna's pastime quite extensively. Jiva Goswami in his Gopal Champu describes about Krishna's pastimes, and Rupa Goswami in his Vidagdha Madhav and Lalita Madhav, these two dramas, also dealt with Krishna's pastimes quite extensively. These two dramas are based on Krishna's pastimes. Besides that, there are other dramas also, like Dankeli Komudi by Rupa Goswami and Dankeli Chintamani by Raghunath Das Goswami. Sometimes we find that there are certain contradictions, like in Brahma Vaivarta Purana, the description is that Radharani actually appeared from the sacrificial fire. But in Lalita Madhav, Rupa Goswami describes that Radharani was born as the daughter of Vinda Mountain. That's also a very interesting story. You all know that Parvati, the daughter of Himalayan Mountain, is the wife of Lord Shiva. Parvati, the daughter of Lord Shiva, daughter of Himalayan Mountain, is the wife of Lord Shiva. Now, Vindhya Mountain, there is another mountain called Vindhya. So Vindhya Mountain became upset about that. He became envious. So he wanted to have a daughter who is better than Himalaya's daughter. Or he wanted to have a son-in-law who is greater than Lord Shiva. So he performed great sacrifices, and as a result of that, he got the benediction that his daughter will be married to someone who is even greater than Lord Shiva. And that daughter of Vinda is Radha. He actually got two daughters. One is Radha and Chandra. So this Radharani and Chandravali were actually daughters of Vindhya Mountain. And when they were just babies, then Putana stole these two girls and wanted to kill these two girls. So when Putana was flying away with these two daughters of Vindhya Mountain, then the Brahmanas started to chant the mantra that kills the witches. So Vindhya's life, Putana's life was in danger. So Putana dropped the children, these two little daughters, and flew away to save her life. And these two daughters fell in the Jamuna River, and they came floating, and King Vrishabhanu got one daughter, that is Radha, and Chandrabhanu, King Chandrabhanu got the other daughter, that is Chandravali. Now, there is a apparent contradiction between Rupa Goswami's description here and other Puranas. But we have to understand, actually, when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was asked why there are such contradictions in the scriptures, so Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's answer to that was kalpabhed. We have to understand that in different kalpas, the pastimes take place in different ways. So when there is some contradictions in the Puran, we have to understand that they are actually narrating the pastimes from different cultures. And these details may differ, but the underlying principle is the same. And what is the ultimate objective of the scriptures? The ultimate objective of the scriptures is to encourage us to become Krishna conscious, inspire us to become Krishna conscious. So that is the ultimate objective. And Krishna's pastimes are like a play. Krishna's pastimes are known as Leela. And Leela means pastime. Pastimes means activities that are just done by out of his own will, own sweet will. Like, it can be compared to a play, a drama on the stage. Like, somebody may play the role of a king on the stage, but he may not actually be a king. And somebody may be a villain on the stage, but he may not actually be a villain. He may be a friendly person, but he is playing the role of a villain. So this way, there are Krishna's pastimes are like an act on the stage. But what is the objective of that act? What is the objective of the drama? The objective of the drama is to bring us closer to Krishna, to make us attractive to Krishna, to make us Krishna conscious. So, now, I'll just give you, today I'll give you the basic background of Krishna's, who are acting in those plays, in Krishna's pastimes. Like, first of all, we have to remember Vasudev and Devaki. They are Krishna's father and mother. Okay, before that, we can also consider why Krishna decided to come and play his pastime. Because the earth became very much burdened with the sinful activities of the demoniac people, headed by Kamsa. So Mother Earth could not bear the torture and tormentation. So Mother Earth went to Brahma and pleaded to him that please do something about it, because I cannot tolerate this burden anymore. So then Brahma said, I can't really do anything because this Kamsa is a very, very terrible person. Now how, and he's so powerful that the demigods do not have any ability to do anything. Now who is this Kamsa? Kamsa is Kalnemi, a demon called Kalnemi, who was actually the son of Hiranyaksha, and he was the uncle of Ravana. So this Kamsa performed great austerities in order to become immortal. So with his head downwards and legs upwards, he was offering oblations, offering ahuti in the sacrificial fire to please Lord Shiva. And he did it for many, many thousands of years. And as a result of that, Lord Shiva became pleased with him, and came to him and asked him, so Kamsa, what do you want? So Kamsa said, I want to become immortal. So please bless me that I can become immortal. So Shiva said, look, I can't give you that benediction, because in this material nature, no one can be immortal. So then indirectly, Shiva told him, okay, only one person will be able to kill you. And only one person, that is the person, the eighth son of someone who is very dear to you. He only will be able to kill you. So this way, Kamsa felt that how can someone who is very someone who is very dear to him kill him. So he just accepted that, and Kamsa started, became sort of immortal, like Hiranyakashipu, you remember, he also became immortal by the blessings of Brahma. But here Kamsa became immortal by the blessings of Lord Shiva. So there was no one who could actually kill Kamsa. So then, when the demigods went to Brahma, Mother Earth went to Brahma, remembered that and said that, look, nothing can be done about it. He's terrible. Only the Supreme Lord can kill him. So then they went to Vishnu, Sri Radakshai Vishnu, and started to offer prayers to him. So Sri Radakshai Vishnu, after hearing the prayers, he woke up from his yoga nidra and he asked what happened. So then the demigods headed by Brahma told him what happened. So Vishnu became very angry. He said, why does demigods give all kinds of benediction to this demon? And as a result of that, they create so much disturbance to this earth planet. And then you all come running to me for rescue. So he said, who is this Kamsa? I'm going to kill him by my Sudarshan Chakra. So then Brahma told him that, look, my lord, Sudarshan Chakra cannot kill Kamsa. The only thing that can kill, the only way that Kamsa can be killed is if you take birth in the womb of Devaki. If you become the eighth son of Devaki, then only you will be able to kill. No one else. So Krishna assured, okay, so I will come, and now you all also take birth on the earth planet in order to assist me. So, being instructed by Krishna, many demigods took birth before Krishna's appearance. And there is also another underlying principle behind that instruction of Krishna. So when Krishna comes on to this earth planet, Krishna actually gives an opportunity to the living entities to develop loving relationship with him and become free from the material bondage and go back to him. From other planets, one cannot get out of this material nature and go back to the spiritual sky. Only when there is an annihilation, only at the end of Brahma's day, some living entities may go back to the spiritual sky. Otherwise, there is no way to get out of this material nature. The only way to get out of this material nature and go back to the spiritual sky is through the earth planet. This earth planet is like a doorway, gateway, out of this material nature. So, when Krishna comes to the earth planet, he actually invites the qualified people, qualified living entities, to take part in his pastime and thus develop a relationship with him and go back to God. Like, we know that initially we perform Vaidhi Bhakti. We practice devotional service. Now, by practicing devotional service, we develop some attachment to Krishna. But this attachment to Krishna may not be fully developed. And unless this attachment to Krishna, our loving relationship to Krishna, becomes fully developed, we cannot actually go back to the spiritual sky. Therefore, when Krishna performs his pastime, he gives a chance, gives an opportunity to the living entities who are quite qualified, or who have developed their love for Krishna, to a great extent, to develop a final attachment, like being in Krishna's pastimes on the earth planet, and thus they develop the final qualification to go back to the spiritual sky. So when Krishna comes to the earth planet, he actually allows different living entities to come and participate in his pastimes. And also he brings many of his eternal associates from the spiritual sky to participate in his pastime. So this way, Krishna comes with a crew from the spiritual sky to enact the play on the earth planet. And Krishna also recruits some qualified actors, qualified candidates to act in his pastime from the material nature. Now, the demigods, many of the demigods were recruited in that way to participate in Krishna's pastime. To give an example, Indra came as Arjun, Jamaraj came as Vidura, then Vayu came as Bhima, another expansion of Dharmaraj was Yudhishthir, Ashwini Kumar became Nakul and Shahadev, Lakshmi Devi, a part of Lakshmi Devi became Panchali or Draupadi, and then we know many other associates of Krishna, many other demigods actually got a chance to take part in Krishna's pastime and become qualified to go back to Godhead. So before Krishna came, he actually asked his superiors to come to this pastime. Like those were elders, like father and mother, so they were Vasudev and Devaki. Vasudev is actually Kashyapa, and Devaki is Aditi. Rohini is Kadru, so another wife of Kashyapa Muni. So Kashyapa Muni is the son of the demigod. So he came to be the father of Krishna, and Aditi became the mother of Krishna. Now there is another consideration. Like there was a question, Parikshit Maharaj, when he heard that Krishna, right after his birth, left Devaki and went to Nanda Maharaj's house. Vasudev carried him to Nanda Maharaj's house, and Devaki did not actually get a chance to take care of Krishna as her own baby. So Parikshit Maharaj asked why Devaki, in spite of getting the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a son, could not really get a chance to shower her paternal affection to him. So in response to that, Parikshit Maharaj was told by Sukadeva Goswami that in the previous kalpa, in Treta Yuga, when the Lord appeared as Ramchandra, then his father Dasarath had three wives, Kaikeyi, Kaushalya, and Sumitra. So Kaikeyi, Ram's mother was Kaushalya. And when Ram was about to be coronated to the throne, then Kaikeyi became very envious. She was not envious because she was very, very fond of Ramchandra. But she had a maid servant called Manthara. Manthara was hunchbacked and very ugly looking. She was not only ugly from her appearance, but in her inside also was very ugly. So Manthara started to tell Kaikeyi that, look, now Ram is becoming the crown prince, so everyone will be glorifying Ram's mother, Kaushalya, and no one will care about you. Your position will be like a maid servant of Kaushalya. Now consider Bharat is such a great personality. Actually, Bharat should be your son. Your son Bharat should be the king. Then Kaikeyi at first objected to that idea. He said, come on, Mantra, what are you talking about? Ram is so wonderful. And Ram is the eldest son, and it is the custom that the eldest son will ascend the throne. But she kept on provoking and started to vitiate Kaikeyi's mind. Then Mantra had finally told Kaikeyi that, Kaikeyi, there is a way how your son can become the crown prince, and after Dasharatha's death he can become the king. And then Kaikeyi asked, how? Then Manthara said, remember when Dasharatha was fighting with the demon, siding with the demigod, then he was severely injured, and at that time you treated him and he got cured, and when he got cured he was so pleased with your nursing, with your service, that he wanted to give you two boons. But at that time you didn't take the boons, saying that, well, I have everything, I don't need anything. But Dasarath said, okay, if someday you need something, you can ask for that boon. Now, these two boons, and this is the time that you must ask for these two boons. Now, with the first boon, you ask Ram to be banished for 14 years into the forest. And with the second boon, you demand that Bharat should become the crown prince. So
then Kaikeyi asked Bhaktivedanta that, please, if you want to give me a boon, remember you wanted to give me two boons and I want these two boons. And she wanted Ram to be banished for 14 years and she wanted Bharat to become the king, the crown prince. Now, Dasarath tried in many ways to make Kaikeyi understand that it's not the right thing to do. But when Ram found out about that, in order to keep the vow of his father, Ram volunteered to go to the forest and make Bharat the king. And at that time, Dasharath died. When Ram left for the forest, Dasharath was running after Ram and crying out his name, Ram, Ram, and shouting out the names of Ramchandra. King Dasharath gave up his body. Now, Kaikeyi, after Ramchandra came back, after 14 years of banishment in the forest, when Lord Ramchandra came back, then he offered obeisances to Kaikeyi and treated her like his mother in a very, very respectful way. So, Kaikeyi became very embarrassed and she started to lament. And she told Ram that, I feel so sorry. Actually, since Ramchandra's banishment, Kaikeyi was feeling very, very brokenhearted. And now that Ramchandra came back and offered her such a treatment, Kaikeyi was very moved. And she said that, Ram, my only desire is that someday I can get you as my own son. So Lord Ramchandra then said, yes. In my next pastime, you will be my mother, but I won't drink your milk. So that's why this Kaikeyi in the next pastime, in Krishna's pastime, became Mother Devaki, but Krishna did not drink her milk. So right after his birth, Krishna was transported to Nandagram, Gokul, in the house of Nanda Maharaj. And he was treated by Nanda Maharaj and Mother Jasoda as their own little child. Now there is another interesting consideration here, that although apparently it seems that Mother Jasoda gave birth to one daughter and that daughter was exchanged by Vasudev with Krishna. Vasudev kept Krishna to Mother Jasoda at the lap of Mother Jasoda and brought this daughter to the prison of Kamsa. But Jiva Goswami pointed out from Harivamsa and also I think Brahma Vaivarta Purana that Mother Jasoda actually gave birth to two children, one son and one daughter. And that son is Krishna. And that daughter is Jogamaya. So Mother Jasoda actually gave birth to original Krishna, and Vasudev Krishna, the son of Vasudev, came to, became one with Krishna, the son of Mother Jasoda. Jiva Goswami gives many proof to that. One proof he gives is that Krishna himself says, that Vrindavanam Parityajya Kadavi Putrana Gacchami, or I never leave Vrindavan and go anywhere else. I always stay in Vrindavan. So Krishna always stays in Vrindavan. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. And also it has been mentioned that Krishna, the son of Jasoda, Krishna the son of Nanda, Krishna the moon of Vrindavan. So this Krishna must be the Krishna of original Krishna of Vrindavan. So original Krishna of Vrindavan is the son of Mother Jasoda. So Mother Jasoda actually gave birth to a son, and that son is Krishna. But when Vasudev brought his son, Devaki's son, to the house of Nanda Maharaj, that Nanda Maharaj's son Krishna, Nanda Nandan Krishna, and Vasudev Krishna became one. So, and the daughter was brought to the house of the prison of Kamsa, who was Jogamaya. Now, who are these two personalities, Yashoda and Nanda, Nanda and Yashoda? Nanda and Yashoda are, Nanda Maharaj was a Basu called Dhara and Drona. Drona was, a Basu called Drona was Nanda Maharaj in the previous life. And his wife was Dhara, who became Mother Yashoda. Now how they became the father and mother of Krishna in this pastime? In the previous pastime, as Drona and Dhara, they performed great austerities in the Gandhamadan mountain. They wanted to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And for a long, long time they performed great austerities. And finally, when Krishna did not appear, then they became so dejected that they wanted to give up their lives. So they lit a huge fire and they were about to enter into the fire and give up their body. So at that time there was an announcement from the sky that Drona and Dhara, don't unnecessarily give up your body untimely. Just be patient. You will be able to get the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna as your son in due course of time. When he will appear in Gokul, then you will be his father and mother. So then Drona and Dhara became very happy, and then they came back to their house, and in due course of time they left their body, and in the next life they became Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, and they were Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as their son. Now the next personality then we come to is Balaram. Who is Balaram? Balaram is Anantadev. Balaram in Ramchandra's pastime was Lakshman. So when Ramchandra came back after conquering Ravana, when Lord Ramchandra came back to Ayodhya, his father's kingdom, after killing Ravana and rescuing Sita, then everyone was very happy and everyone was glorifying Lord Ramchandra very much. That he did such a wonderful act, he killed Ravana. So at that time, the great sage Agastya, he said actually the credit goes to Lakshman. So everyone asked, how is that possible? Now Ram actually killed Ravana and he did so many wonderful things and defeated Ravana and rescued Sita. Then Agastya said that Ravana's son Meghnad was invincible. No one could actually defeat him. He was so powerful that even the demigods could not do anything to him. And he was invincible. No one could defeat him. So conquering Ravana would have been impossible if Meghnad was alive. But this Meghnad, Ravana's son, Meghnad, was killed by Lakshman. And Lakshman could kill him because he was a perfect brahmachari. And not only he was a perfect brahmachari, for 14 years that they were in the forest, he did not eat anything. So he was a perfect brahmachari and he didn't eat anything. So Lord Ramchandra, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and who knows everything, he, as I said, out of his pastime, he asked, how is that possible? Sita was there, and perfect brahmachari means one who doesn't even look at the face of a woman. So Sita, when he was in the forest, Sita was there, so how could he be considered to be a perfect brahmachari who didn't even see the face of a woman? Then Agastya said that actually he did not look at the face of Sita. All the time he used to look at the feet of Sita. And then Lakshman admitted that was true. That he always looked at the feet of Mother Sita, never looked at her face. Then Ramchandra said, but you said that for 14 years He did not eat anything, but every day I used to give him a fruit. So how can you say that he did not eat? Then I went to say, okay, why don't you ask Lakshman what he did with the fruit? So Lakshman said, actually, when you gave me the fruit, I kept the fruit in the forest. So Ramchandra said, is it true? So he said, Hanuman, you go and see if the fruits are in the forest, whether Lakshman is telling the truth. So then Hanuman went to the forest and he brought all the fruits back. So everyone got very excited. How wonderful it is that Lakshman, for 14 years he did not eat anything. Then Ramchandra said, okay, let me see whether he did not eat a single day. So he counted all the fruits and he found that the five fruits were missing. Five fruits were short. That is 14. The number of fruits were 14 multiplied by 365 minus 5. So he asked, how come the five fruits are missing? So these 5 days we must have eaten the fruit. So you did not fast for 14 years. Then Lakshman said, actually, if you remember, those 5 days you forgot to give me the fruit. And those 5 days are the day you got the news of Dasarath's death, the day I was struck by the day Sita was stolen, the day I was struck by Shakti Shail. Ravan actually released Shakti Shail and Lakshman fainted. He was dead. He fainted. He became unconscious. Then Hanuman brought the Gandhamandan mountain where there was Vishalakarani, a plant called Vishalakarani, and with that Vishalakarani he was brought back to life. So that day he was struck by Shakti Shail. The day he went to Patala Loka to kill Mohi Ravan, and the day Sita was tested in the fire. So these are the 5 days Ramchandra forgot to give him. Therefore, those five fruits are missing. So everyone started to glorify Lakshmana. And Ramchandra became so moved. He said that in my next pastime, I will allow you to become my elder brother. So as a result of that, in Krishna's pastime, this Lakshman appeared as Balaram. Now, I just mentioned about Srimati Radharani. Radharani was the daughter of King Vrishabhanu. Now this Vrishabhanu was in his previous life, Vrishabhanu was sun god, Prabhakar. The Prabha means radiance, effulgence. The one who gives out light. Now who gives out light? Sun. Therefore another name of sun is Prabhakar. So sun wanted to have Srimati Radharani as his daughter. And he performed great austerity. And ultimately the Lord blessed him that he will, in his next pastime, when he comes with Radharani, Radharani will appear as his daughter. And that Prabhakar became King Vrishabhanu, and his wife is Kirtida or Kalavati. These are the two names that have been used for Kirtida or Kalavati. So Radha was born as their daughter. Now, Vrishabhanu has had four other brothers. King Krishnanu had five sons. They are Vrishabhanu, Chandrabhanu, Subhanu, Mahabhanu, and Bhanu. And these five brothers had 20 children. So King Vrishabhanu had two children, one son and one daughter, Radha and Shridam. Chandrabhanu had also one son and one daughter, and that is Shubal and Chandravali. And he also gave birth to four other children. They are Krishna, another friend of Krishna called Krishna, Mahavali, Chitra and Champakala. And Shubhanu gave birth to Vasudam, Dam, Mohival, Lalita and Vishakha. Bhanu gave birth to Madhumati, Kinkini, Rangadevi and Chitralekha. And Mahabhanu gave birth to Stokakrishna, Kokila, Gandharva and Tungavidya. Now these are the 8 principal gopis and 12 principal friends of Krishna. So these Ashtashakhis are actually Radharani's cousins, and the 12 friends of Krishna are also Radharani's cousins. Brother, Shridam is her own brother and others are her cousins. So this way we can see that all the immediate members are from Radharani's family. The 8 gopis, Ashtashakhis and 12 Dwadas, Gopals are the immediate family members of Srimati Radharani. And Rohini, Balaram's mother, gave birth to 5 sons. These 5 sons of Rohini are Balaram, Sharan, Shot, Durdam and Ushina. These are the 5 sons, and she gave birth to 2 daughters, and those daughters are Chitra and Subhadra. This Chitra is not the gopi Chitra. This is Rohini's daughter, Vasudev, and Rohini's daughter. Actually, soon after her birth, this first daughter of Rohini died, Chitra. But after death, she started to lament that Krishna is going to come perform his pastime and I will miss out on that. So she wanted to come back, and she came back as Subhadra. So these are the brothers and sisters of Balaram. Now there is also an interesting thing about Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani actually was born, she was extremely beautiful. I mean, everybody could see that this baby was, baby was most beautiful thing in this world. So King Vrishabhanu and Kirtida became very happy to get such a beautiful daughter. But very soon they found out that the eyes of this little child, newborn baby, is closed. So she was blind. So although they got a very beautiful daughter, but they were very, very sad that this child is born blind. But at the same time, they accepted it as their destiny. Actually, the Vedic culture, everyone learns to accept everything as Krishna's arrangement. So people do not lament so much. They just accept everything as their destiny and try to adjust their lives with that. Like if someone is very poor, he accepts that, well, this is my destiny. This is Krishna's arrangement. And actually, when you read the Puranas and when you read the Vedic scriptures, then you can see that everything is due to some previous arrangement. Nothing actually happens by chance. Therefore, it is a useless waste of time to try to change our destiny. Because everything has been arranged by the divine arrangement of Vidhata, the divine arrangement of the Supreme Control. So an intelligent person does not struggle to change his destiny. On the other hand, he flows with destiny and tries to develop, tries to reach the ultimate goal of life. And what is the ultimate goal of life? Ultimate goal of life is to develop love for Krishna. So the Vedic philosophy or Vedic culture teaches one to flow in the course of time, flow in the stream of time to reach the Supreme Person, the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God. Instead of trying to swim upstream, instead of trying to swim against the current, they float with the current to reach their ultimate destiny. Isn't it intelligent? But in the material nature, what does everybody do? Everyone tries to go against the current of time. And as a result of that, what happens? They become exhausted and they don't make any progress. Did you ever try to swim against the current? Go to the Ganga and try that. So Vrishabhanu, King Vrishabhanu accepted it. Well, my daughter is blind, so what? So what can be done? After all, she is my daughter, so let me just take care of her nicely and let me be happy that I got a daughter. And then, in the meantime, a son was born in the house of Mother Jasoda. Mother Jasoda gave birth to a son. So they were actually related to each other. King Vrishabhanu and Nanda Maharaj were great friends. So this is another aspect, that actually Nanda Maharaj arranged the marriage of King Vrishabhanu with Kirtida. Kirtida was very, very beautiful. She was the daughter of a king. And her name was Malavati. Palavati. So one day, Nanda Maharaj went to that kingdom of the king, and he found and he saw that this girl, surrounded by her friends, were going somewhere, and he was struck with her beauty. And he asked people, who is this girl? And he was told that she is the daughter of the king. And so Nanda Maharaj went to the king, and now this is another very wonderful aspect of the Vedic culture. Now you all must have been thinking, oh, he saw a beautiful girl and he wanted to marry her. No. He thought that this girl will be a perfect wife for my friend, Vrishabhanu. So he went to the king and told him that your daughter is so beautiful, and I can see that she's endowed with so many good qualities. All the good qualities are present in her personality. Now, you must be wondering, you must be searching for a perfect husband for her. Now, if you want your daughter to get married to the right person, I can help you. And here is Vrishabhanu, who is the son of Krishnanu. Who is the son of Krishnanu, and he is the perfect husband for your daughter. And so this is how they were married. Kalavati were married to King Vrishabhanu. So they were very close friends. King Vrishabhanu and Nanda Maharaj were very, very close friends. So after Krishna was born, they got to know that Radha was also born of Vrishabhanu. So one day Mother Jasoda came with her friends and her associates from Vrindavan to see Kirtida and her daughter. And so they all were very happy to see this beautiful daughter of the mother, Kirtida. And Mother Jasoda took the daughter in her lap, and Mother Kirtida took Krishna in her lap. They exchanged their children, and they could see that the children were showing some great attachment to each other. So they playfully kept these two children on the bed. So when they put the two children on the bed, then all of a sudden Radha's eyes opened up. Actually, she kept her eyes closed because she didn't want to see anyone but Krishna.
So she was waiting for the time for Krishna to appear, and then only she would open her eyes. And everybody started to wonder, how wonderful this is, that this son, this child, must know some mantra. Always a child, and he's showing such wonderful characteristics, some wonderful qualities. Like this blind child of Kirtida and Vrishabhanu got her eyes back. And so in this way, they all started to glorify Krishna. To come back to the earth planet, go to Vrindavan and do Sankirtan. Sankirtan means chanting the holy name of Krishna with genuine feeling from the heart. Like telling, when they call out the name, hey Krishna, hey Gopal, it should not just be a lip service or a tongue service. It should be from the heart. We should really desire, Krishna, I can't exist without you. So then when one develops that intense relationship, intense feelings for Krishna. So this Gopkumar, what happened to him? He was chanting in Vrindavan like that. Then one day, he just fainted and fell on Jamuna. And then he saw that he became unconscious. But in that unconscious state, he felt that he was sitting in a vehicle and he was moving at a tremendous speed. And then he was, when he came back to his senses, he found himself in Goloka.
What is the age difference between Radharani and Gopi?
Generally, it's a, you see, their days are, their ages are 4 months. Radharani is 15 years, 4 months, 2 days. Krishna is 16 years. And this is their eternal age. Now, appearance-wise, Radharani appeared before Krishna. Now, how much before, you know, that you do not know. See, in Brahma Vaivarta Purana, this is actually from Brahma Vaivarta Purana. Brahma Vaivarta Purana is actually describing that Radharani was a baby and Krishna came and she opened her eyes. But in the same Brahma Vaivarta Purana, there is another description. Okay, I'll just tell the story. So.
One day, Nanda Maharaj was tending the cows in Pandirwan. And Krishna was on his lap. So, and at that time, by the arrangement of Krishna's Yogamaya, there was a heavy cloud. And it appeared that there was going to be a big storm. So, Nanda Maharaj became very worried what to do. Now he has the child in his lap, and the cows, they are already becoming frisky because of the weather. So he became very worried whether to take care of the child Krishna or to take care of the cows. So at that time Srimati Radharani came there. There the description of, although Krishna was just a baby on the lap of Nanda Maharaj, Radharani has been described as fully grown. She was extremely beautiful young woman. And Nanda Maharaj told Radharani that I know who you are. Garga Muni told you that you are Mahalakshmi Devi. And this child of mine is Narayan Singh. So I know that both of you are actually performing and playing a pastime. Now, please, hold this child for me and let me take care of the cow. So Radharani became very pleased with Nanda Maharaj. She said, yes, ask for any boon, ask for any benediction. So Nanda Maharaj said, if you want to give me any boon, then give me the boon that I can always maintain my attachment to you and to this little child. And so Radharani told Nanda Maharaj that that will be, and said, "You go back home with the cow. I'll come back with the cow." So when Nanda Maharaj was gone, then Radharani developed such intense love for this little child that she was, her whole entity was lost in that person. So at that time, the little child also could not play his role properly. So he became a beautiful 15-year-old boy. And they had their first Radharani. From Radharani's body, all the gopis appeared, and from Krishna. And all the Rasa Mandali was arranged there, and they enacted their first Rasa dance. But then after performing the Rasa dance, Krishna became the devi again. So Radharani felt very sad. Said, "Oh, my dear Krishna became like the devi again, and I won't be able to develop my exchange, I won't be able to exchange with him the way I normally want to." So then she heard a voice from the sky saying, "Don't worry. Every night I will come and dance with you. And you also will leave your shadow behind in your house. And you will come, and every night you meet together." So there are, you know, like, we have to understand that actually it is Krishna's pastime. You know, Krishna is not bound by time and space like our conditioned soul. He can do anything, and therefore, you know, if there is certain discrepancies or there is some contradiction, one shouldn't take them seriously. Yes? There is Vaikuntha liberation, and those who do Navadvipa Parikrama with the ISKCON devotees, he goes to Godok Navadvipa. He won't be satisfied. Devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will not be satisfied in Vaikuntha. You know, they will get bored there.
What is that? Karmi does the parikrama. So what is happening?
You see, ultimate consideration of liberation is sambandha jnana. Sambandha means relationship. Now Krishna manifests himself in three ways: Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavatam. Right? Now if one understands the supreme personality of Godhead or absolute truth to be Brahma, then he will go to Brahma. If somebody feels that the Supreme Personality is Paramatma, the Super Soul, then he will attain Paramatma liberation. But those who are related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or those who know the Supreme Personality as Bhagavan and became a devotee of that Supreme Personality, he will go to Vaikuntha or generally, you see, though, as I said, like, ultimate consideration is sambandhya, the understanding of it. They will attain the supreme position, which is beyond the material nature. But that supreme position may be impersonal. That supreme position, their understanding of the supreme may be localized.
or their understanding may be the supreme loving object, where he allows us to develop our love for him and have an exchange with him. Yes?
Paramatma liberation?
Paramatma liberation is the liberation attained by the yogis. Well, they refer to, they see the super soul, and the super soul is inactive. You see, it's like seeing him as a supreme witness and inactive, who is the cause of everything, but they don't develop a loving relationship. That's the kind of Vaikuntha situation. That's the, they go to Vaikuntha, but it's a Vaikuntha situation in a pure neutrality, neutral meaning. There is no servitorship. No. Well, yes, some become trees, but that is also. But the trees in Vrindavan are not in neutrality. The trees in Vrindavan are either in friendship or in enmity. They are not in neutrality. They are not in samsara, although they appear to be like samsara. Actually, in Vrindavan, everything is animate. Nothing is neutral. Everything is dynamic. Nothing is static. Yes. Is there any class now? Yes. With the professor Prabhu? Is there any program here? Yes.
He has to be almost pure.
You see, in other ages, this developing love was not so easily available. Therefore, it was difficult. Like the other day I was mentioning, there are two types of liberation. One is Krama Mukti and the other is Satya Mukti. The gradual liberation and instant liberation. The gradual liberations are like from one to the higher and higher and ultimately going to the goal of Vrindavan. Now this consideration is for gradual liberation. But Sabda Mukti is when one develops his love for Krishna, then he, after giving up his body, because he has already become 100% purified in spite of being in the material world. I mean, then his body is not material anymore. Although it appears to be material, although it may appear to be situated on the earth planet. But because he developed pure love for Krishna, as soon as the body's turn is over, he immediately goes back to the spiritual world. Now this is what is happening by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. This is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is so rare. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is allowing us to develop an instantaneous love for Krishna directly, instead of going through, you know, different elevations or different stages of elevation. Yeah, that's just bad luck. Like, you get something very precious, and if you don't use it, then who can you blame? It's like the other day I was mentioning that a king got drunk, right? And he opened his treasury and started to distribute all the most precious jewels to anyone and everyone who is coming. Then if somebody gets an extremely precious jewel but doesn't, now he gets, you know, one
very precious jewel and uses it as a paperweight, then what can be done? So we must understand the value of Mahaprabhu's gift. This is also a very nice question. That it was told that Nanda Maharaj is one of the Vasus, and he became Nanda Maharaj in Krishna's pastime. Now, isn't Nanda Maharaj an eternal associate of Krishna? Yes, there are two considerations. One is Krishna's eternal associate, as I mentioned. And the other consideration is, a living entity gets a chance to be elevated to Krishna's pastime. So in this case, it is a living entity who was in the material platform, got a chance to be elevated to Goloka Vrindavan in Krishna's pastime. This Drona was not the original Nanda Maharaj from Vrindavan. He got a chance to play the role of Nanda Maharaj in Krishna. It is inconceivable, because in spiritual sky many personalities can be one, and also one personality can be dominant. Bhama Vrindavan, that is Drona. That here, according to this Brahma Vaivarta Puran, we have to understand that this is Drona who got the position of Nanda Maharaj. And you can also consider the original Nanda Maharaj also came, but they became one. But you know, I don't want to use that, you know, like, I mean, or rather before mentioning that, I want to say that one must be very clear in his mind that this is not merging as merging of Brahma Jyoti. This is the merging of, you know, like two personalities or many personalities in spiritual pattern can become one, just as one personality in spiritual pattern can become one. So we have to understand, yes, Nanda Maharaj is the eternal father of Krishna, he came, and at the same time Drona also got the position of Nanda Maharaj. Similarly, we will see that these gopis are also completely different personalities. From the material consideration. But at the same time, these gopis are the eternal associates of Krishna. Now how do we compromise that, or how do we reconcile that? So we have to reconcile with the understanding inconceivable. It's beyond our conception. Yes. Yeah. Yes, it happens, like for example in Vrindavan, like in, you will see in ISKCON, right, two persons may have the same name, right? So, you see, like the name may be same, but the personalities are different. Just as there is an Arjun, in Vrindavan also, there is a Krishna, friend of Krishna in Vrindavan, whose name is Arjun. But this Arjun is a cowherd boy, not the son of Pandu. So there are personalities in the same name. Well, they must have their way of saying, calling Krishna Junior, Krishna Senior. Yes, you have a question? Thank you. You see, Gop Kumar, I mean, first consideration is the Gop Kumar. You see, Gop Kumar was going from higher to higher planet, higher position, right? That has been described in the Bhagavatam. And the thing is that since his position is, in his, since his relationship with Krishna in Dwarka was not his eternal relation, he was not satisfied with that. Although Krishna was there with him, even Krishna showed himself as the cowherd boy. And Lakshmi Devi became Radharani. The other associates became gopis. And cowherd boys, you know, although Gopkumar saw Krishna in his Vrindavan way, but still he was not satisfied. Therefore, he had to, until the time he reached Vrindavan, he was not satisfied. So that is the indication of where our eternal relationship is. Like, for example, Murari Gupta, better example actually will be Anupam, Jiva Goswami's father, Rupa Goswami's brother. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami told Anupam, who was a Ram Bhakta, to become a devotee of Krishna. And they explained that why it is better to become a devotee. So Anupam, he asked for one night to think it over. And throughout the night he thought, and the morning when he went to Rupa and Sanatana and told them, please forgive me, I can't give up my attention to Radha. So here we have to understand that his eternal relationship was with Radha, and he would not compromise that for anything, not even for Krishna. So Chaitanya Charitamrita in that respect is saying, Jar je rosh pai, shei sarvottam. So whatever one's original mellow is, that is the high. He considers that to be the highest. If someone's original relationship is in neutrality, he'll consider that to be the highest. If someone's original relationship is with servitorship or friendship, etc., his respective mellow will be considered to be the highest. Yeah, because this is the description of Kama Bhukti, gradual elevation. Like you see, you can take a plane, or you can go overland, right? Now when you are going overland, then you are going to different places and you are going to different experiences. But when you go by plane, it's direct from one to another. So Sadhu Mukti is something like taking a flight. I think like Mahaprabhu's mercy is actually the name for that. Mahaprabhu's special mercy is like if you practice in this body, you can, if you practice, if you follow Mahaprabhu's instruction in the line of Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, then in this lifetime you can become beautiful. Because ultimate consideration of purification is development of love for Krishna. And that love has been directly given by Chaitanya. So whoever develops that genuine love for Krishna will go back to them. Or go back to another people. Yes. Every planet of the universe? No. Krishna's pastime, the original Supreme Personality of God, Krishna's pastime, the enacted on the earth, in the earth planet of every universe. You see, every universe has 14 planetary systems. And every universe has a middle planet, the earth planet. Now Krishna enacts his pastimes in that earth planet of every universe. Earthland. Earth, yeah. This is called, the names are the same. Bhul Loka, Bhuvan Loka, Swar Loka, Mahan Loka, Jana Loka, Sapa Loka, Satya Loka. These are the upper planetary system. And the lowers are Tal, Atal, Vital, Shutal, Rashatal, Mahatal, and Satal. So the middle one is the Bhul Loka. So the Bhul Loka is the earth planet. And every earth planet, there is a place called Bharatvarsha. And that in that Bharatvarsha there is a place called Vrindavan. And Krishna comes and plays his part. So I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Krishna.